Blog Talk Radio.
Codec.
33%
for the company president. Hazard pay, money spent. Second chancers can't pay the rent. Work from home, comfy slippers, no mask needed, all alone. Zoom call with lawyers, staff, and union sellouts on his smartphone. Some part-time bus and rail workers have no home. Uniforms and family health insurance. Flagmen paying out of pocket. No salary bump for any of us. Bet. No $350,000 rocket.
33%.
A competitive raise for our company president.
Underfunded pension. Forgot to mention money. You can never have enough. More and more keep the workers poor. Flyovers and cameras with 8K HD X-ray view. Negotiation of contracts behind secret closed doors. The workers always get the screw. The solution to the problems are nothing new. Full-time jobs for all and two-person crews.
Running a transit agency during normal times is a Herculean task.
Sitting in your award-winning palace while we get assaulted is kind of crass. No contract, no radios, no decent breaks for operators. Safety first, the truth hurts. Company union, lavish lifestyle. Think about the relationship for a while. Union bosses to help punish the voices that inspire the workers. Call the cops, run the radicals off the lot. Shoot the messengers, suspend and fire the non-conforming misbehaviors. No accelerated discipline for our highly paid boss or his top union friends. No random drops or violation sins. An easy ride to retirement for him. We lost count. How many pensions? No 26 and out for the rest of them.
Leadership that this agency needs.
Glory and praise to thee while the full-time workers double-digit pension paycheck deductions bleed if they survive COVID-19. Twilight Zone cognitive dissonance. The company board mandated it.
33% for the company president.
Yeah, 33% for the company president. What a week, what a month. Let's just get started right away before we get to our main topics. I'm just doing a quick little test. You know, we just restarted this show, and we want to make sure that all the audio is correct. And just give me a moment. We're going to let all the callers in shortly. And I want to get started with our main segment. Pardon me here. You know, we went without doing this show for a couple years, so we're getting things back in order. Let's see. There we go. All right. Beautiful. So many of y'all were aware on the Chicago Transit Justice Coalition YouTube and Facebook and Twitter, we posted video from the last local 308 membership meeting, and President Dixon attempted to run me over with his lovely Lincoln. people say I jumped in front of the car, but you see the video for yourself and you tell me who's jumping. But I'm want to make sure that everybody's clear. I won't be doing that again. However, I made a visit to the police department upon recommendation of many coworkers that insisted. But I didn't press charges, and I found out that he was there too, and he didn't press charges. You know why? Because we were both out of line with the law. Interesting thing, though, he didn't tell them that he tried to bump into me a couple times with his car. But that's okay, because at the next local 308 membership meeting, we're going to have a quorum, and if we don't, we have procedures in the bylaws that allow us to have some sort of a meeting. So hopefully President Nixon will comply with that. If not, we just do what we got to do to hold our leadership accountable. So March 7th, they're changing the date. March 7th will be at 6:30 will be the next local 308 membership meeting. They changed it due to a scheduling conflicts with the officers, whatever that means. Maybe the Secretary of Treasurer, Deborah Cozy Lane, will be with or not with Lori Lightfoot since she lost. We fired her. But maybe that was the reason, because she hasn't been in many membership meetings. She's been busy with politicians. And I remember one membership meeting that she wasn't at. She was at their inauguration. Well, I've also heard that she's dealing with illness, so we don't want her to be sick. We don't want anyone to suffer, no matter how much of a tyrant they are. There's no need to wish death or illness upon our opponents. March 7th is also going to be the local 241 mass membership meeting. So I want you local 241 members, go to that meeting, because we've got some coalition organizers there. You're going to be present and participating. The union leadership was very disrespectful to Brother Andre, Brother Robert, who visited trying to get answers and information. Second Vice President, Paula Mimi, and the Financial Recording Secretary Treasurer, Tiant Gatewood. He said, I wouldn't let bus operators in the toilets, in the bathrooms at the rail stations. Total lie. I call him Tiant Potty Man Gatewood. Very disrespectful. Fed called them a bunch of punk-ass N-words. That's not a good way to talk to the members, brother. No. Just like it's not good for President Nixon to turn his back on members that are asking him questions at a meeting that he canceled third time in a row for lack of a quorum. We were down one person, and one person came eventually. Opto, what is it? It's an acronym for One Person Train Operation. That's how we do things at the CTA on the rail side. One man or woman responsible for 8 or 6 cars of a train. It's like 8 buses or 6 buses. One person driving, or that's the incorrect term, operating. But most people understand it as driving, so I said that for the riders that listen. But it's a train operator, a motorman / conductor / paramedic / group home counselor / firefighter / punching bag / target / platoon. Yeah, train operators constantly being abused. Bus operators constantly being abused by mismanagement and lost souls. One-person train operation doesn't work, everybody. It doesn't work. You cannot really focus on operating the train and the doors. The delays are astronomical. I want to break it down for you. I did some math. By the way, the schedules, as far as time points on the schedules, you know, from, for example, Howard to Clark and Division to 63rd and 95th, none of those have changed since the days of conductors over 30 years ago. People saying, we made it work. We'll never get it back. Wait a minute. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Listen to this. We have delays on these trains that frustrate the passengers. They exacerbate stress and injuries, repetitive stress injuries for the train operators. It is a reality. You're going to be a train operator, you're going to have injuries. You're going to have issues with hydration. You're going to have issues with using the toilet because you can't take a break just to catch your breath because you're going from point to point to point to point, back and forth, and you have all these delays going on, many of which could be eliminated with a second person. Two-person crews, a dedicated motorman and dedicated conductor. Either one could be operator qualified. It's a tried-and-true solution in reducing or eliminating the delays. I've been keeping track over the past few years. Not all the delays occur at once, okay? But what they do is they add up because you got multiple trips. You're on the brown line, you're going to do these loopers. You're going to do five of them. You're on the blue line, you're going to go Forest Park to O'Hare, Forest Park, O'Hare to Forest Park, back and forth, 95th. Howard, he's approximately five. You go on the purple line, depending if you got shuttles, you might be doing nine. And if you're on the yellow line, you're doing a hell of a lot more. So look at this. We're going to break this down. We get 1 to 6 minute delays for what's called moving emergencies when the train goes into emergency brakes or stays in emergency. The dynamic and the friction brakes go all the way on, not necessarily the track brakes, that type of emergency, but just that it stops moving. And doors being pulled, which causes a similar effect. 1 to 6 minutes, just one trip. You're going from 95th, your operator's going from 95th to Howard. It could be 1 to 6 minutes. Questions by riders who come to the motor cab window. Sometimes the customer assistance not available, so the operator's got to deploy what's called the gap filler for riders who use wheelchairs. Or there's what's called personal intercom unit or PIU activation. They hit that little button. You seen that little button? These are delays because you have to stop your train to answer these things. You got to stop the train to look at the video. There's no video for that train operator in that motor cab while the train's moving. They got to stop it. 1 to 3 minutes. We have workers on or near the tracks with or without flagmen. This could be at night. This could be in the day. It could be any time. It slows down. They got to stop the train because the flagman's got to pick out what's called a portable track trip. That's not going on, then they're still slowing them down. They can't go past the workers faster than 6 miles per hour. Operating a route selector when there's no towerman on duty. We're going to track level to pin a trip or wedge the trailing and leading switch point. See, this is kind of technical, complicated stuff for you who are not trained. But operating the route selector, that's a towerman's job. That's a tower worker's job, a towerman. But on the elevated routes, on the weekends and after a certain period of time, not at night, like at night, the train operator's got to operate the switches in order to leave the terminal or enter the terminal. This is a delay. And sometimes they take the wrong route, and they get a 2-year safety violation. They get taken out of service. They get drug tested. They deal with the stress. You get three safety violations, and they're easy to get as a train operator, by the way. You get three of those, you're fired. And they last for 2 years each. And it could be almost for anything. 1 to 3 minutes to do that. Making special announcements from bulletins. They'll make these bulletins about a route change. Or the controller, the dispatcher is calling the operator on the radio. They're giving them right away updates. They got to respond. They say, "Oh, operator 834, operator 805, did you hear that there's workers on the right of way?" Operator 805, I'm 10-4 on the workers on the right. This takes your mind off of your work. You on the radio. You're making special announcements from these bulletins that are written so poorly. They're like three paragraphs, and you have to stop your train and read it or improvise or while you're moving and take a chance of running a signal. 1 to 6 minutes delay. Walking from one side of the motor cab to the other to operate doors at an island platform. What does that mean? Do you ever notice that we have stations on either side of the train? We have station platforms on either side of the train. On the right side, the station platform's right there. It's easy. Okay, you can look out the window. She can look out the window. Okay, open doors, close the doors. All right, good. Move. But when the station's on the left side of the train operator, they stop their train. They walk all the way over. They open the window. They unkey it, unkey the door control box. They look out, or maybe they got another key in there if they happen to have another key. And they look out, they close the doors, and they walk back across, and they start. Okay, that adds up for your whole trip. 1 to 3 minutes. Then imagine going all the way to the right side of the cab. This is the train operator, okay, dealing with another delay, and someone manually opens the doors at the same door. Oh, I meant to get off here. And they have to stop the train. They have to put the master controller in maximum service brake. They got to walk over, or P3 or B3, and they got to walk over. They got to go check. And if the rider opens the doors when they left the station, now they got to go walk the train and find out what happened, see if someone fell on the tracks. Sometimes people are inebriated, and they open the doors on the side of the train where there's no platform. And sometimes they step out and die. Most of the time they don't. They catch themselves and they're like, oops. But the train operator's got to go check. They got to check. And if they don't check, that's their job. And that could be someone's life. So they're going to check. Another delay. That's just one. Speed restrictions and troubleshooting. Oh, my God. So, you know, the train operator is not just deciding how fast they're going to go. Their speed is governed by something called automatic train control. And we have all kind of speed restrictions on the blue line. Maybe you've ridden it before. 1 to 6 minutes. Now, here is that when the train operator gets to a terminal, could be Harlem and Lake, could be 90, could be Howard, could be Forest Park, anywhere, Kimball. They got to clear the train of passengers. Their job is simple: to make an announcement. This train's out of service. It doesn't say anywhere they got to go wake people up, help people off the train. They do it because they got to what? They got to get to their next train, or they got to have their lunch. They got to have a break. They got to use the bathroom. The delay can take 1 to 10 minutes. So, I added all this up and calculated it. The average cumulative delay for each trip, that would be if I'm on the red line, I go from Howard to 95th back to Howard, to 46 minutes. 8 minutes minimum delay, 46 minutes maximum. Now, remember I told you there's multiple trips. Multiple trips, that's your day. So the average cumulative delays for the train operators and the passengers is 25 to 138 minutes for a whole day. Now, you just ride, if you're a passenger, you just ride the train. That's your one thing. You go to work, you come home, whatever you do, you go and you come. Take one-way trip. But the train operator's doing this for the day. Now, they get paid for the overtime. They mostly don't want it. They just want to go home and sleep. Because at the CTA, they don't get 10 hours, 12 hours of rest. They only get 8. So they'll have a two-hour commute on the train or bus to go home and back or in the car, maybe an hour. So what is it for a week? What is the average cumulative delays for a week for a train operator at the CTA? It's 2 to 11 hours. So 2 to 11 hours that train operator is being delayed. What is it a year? 100 to 550 hours. I don't even know how to calculate. I don't even know how to measure that really. Like, how would that feel, right? How to explain that? I've been a train operator. I know how it feels. I don't know how to put it in some comparative terms for you as a rider, or you as a coworker who's not a train operator, or you as a train operator doesn't realize how you are being abused and squeezed to death and broken down. 100 to 550 hours a year, you are giving your life for delays. It could be remedied, cut in half, sometimes eliminated with two-person crews. You can't – speed restrictions, no. Workers on the right-of-way, no. All these door issues, yes. Troubleshooting issues, yes. Dealing with the controller, yes. Lost and found, suspicious packages. A second person can deal with that. Answering questions. I didn't even necessarily put firefighter in there, but I did mention it. But we don't have a whole lot of fires, but we had one today, this morning, that operator had to put out on the tracks because someone tossed some cigarettes out on the right-of-way and some garbage caught fire. One-person train operation is a failure at the CTA. We could go on and on. In fact, let's see if we got anybody hanging out here. We got lots of callers. Got lots of callers, and I'm gonna bring y'all on. Let's talk about one person train operation. The phone number 0207. Talk to us.
Hey.
Father?
Yeah.
Why am I getting two people?
Okay. I'm almost talking.
All right, 0207. Talk to us. You're on with the Chicago Transit Worker Radio Show.
Good morning, brother.
Good morning.
Hello? Oh. Good to be here.
So
good to be here.
What do you think about this one-person train operation? Does it work or does it not work?
It doesn't work because when I was a conductor, for the operator, I was two extra eyes, and it's good to have multiple eyes, especially when it comes to safety for our passengers and our employees. So when I was a conductor, the operator had somebody have his back. For anything that could occur, because you never know what's going to occur, you know?
Wow.
I was in favor of the conductor before they got rid of it. When they got rid of it, it was the worst thing they ever done.
The worst thing. That's serious. That's a serious word.
You know,
the worst thing they ever
crime
done.
Crime went up. Safety went down. Safety got worse. I mean, I was assaulted as a conductor multiple times. So the operator, known as the RTO, he had my back, and he made the call when he had to make the call for ambulance or whatever when I got assaulted. So imagine being an operator by yourself. Nobody has your back. And when is the CPD going to be there? They're not available at your will, or they're on the trains. They're not there, and if they are, they're nowhere to be found.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. We're gonna head up to another call.
Okay.
Let's get thank you for calling, brother. We appreciate that.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
All right, we got 8227. What do you think? One person train operation. Does it work? To us, 8227. One person train operation. Does it work? Maybe they're on hold. I'll put them on hold. All right, we've got 6257. 6257, talk to us about one person train operation. Does it work?
Hey, good morning. No, it doesn't work. There's another big level where it doesn't work, and that's the fact that people need jobs. People need good-paying jobs. And when you have one person doing the job that used to be a two-person job or two-person process and one person doing, so, of course, it's going to be less efficient. There's going to be more problems. But people need decent-paying jobs, good jobs, and jobs were given away by the ATU. There was no fight back about that at all. It's going to be a hard fight, but it's one that we need to engage in. And I'm glad you're doing this.
Well, thank you, and thanks for calling.
Sure.
Thanks for calling and sharing with us that important information, because the CTA is complaining. We don't have enough workers. Mm-hmm. Well, you keep laying them off. You keep cut, and replace them with part-time, poverty-time jobs.
Right, and I know young people, in their 20s and 30s, who need jobs, and I've told them, try the CTA. Oh, no, I don't want to be a bus driver. I don't want to work on a train, because the CTA and the city, they have, like you said in your post, they have destroyed these jobs. These were once good jobs with good benefits, with protections for the workers and our families, and decent pensions into old age. But they changed all of that, and it's not worth it to people.
They're killing the operators. They're killing them. Bus and rail. They're killing them.
Yep.
And they love the churn, because they could just keep firing them and hiring new ones and firing them and hiring new ones. It's disgusting. And it's just the same thing happening on the freight railroads. Same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get to another call. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So looks like we got 4489. Talk to us. One person train operation. 4489. Come on, talk to us.
Yeah, good morning. But
welcome.
I feel like the one train operation doesn't work. It's crazy. They're on the train smoking weed. They're on the train smoking cigarettes. It's an open drug market on the train. They're selling these drugs openly. They're smoking the drugs on the train. An extra set of eyes can stop this criminal behavior that is brazenly happening so normally ever since COVID started. People are just breaking the rules, doing what they want to do on these trains, and it's this $100 million security contract for unarmed security guards on these trains is a joke. They got these teenagers doing on these trains and on these platforms. They give them nothing but a flashlight, no radio, no weapon, no handcuffs, no nothing. And it's just a waste of money, a waste of taxpayers' money that they're spending all this $100 million plus on these security contracts for these teenagers who are just standing around earning minimum wage, $15 an hour, to do this security job. CTA needs to wake up and bring this two-person crew back to their trains for safety for their employees and safety for their customers alike. Thank you.
Man, thank you. Thank you, brother. We really appreciate it because, the uniformed CTA workers, they are a deterrent. We're not a police force. We're not security. That's not our job. But in a society where, poverty time jobs prevail, and huge amounts of money are spent on wars and prisons, you know, we need to shift that money into jobs, full-time jobs for people, healthcare, education, you know, good infrastructure and education, because this is ridiculous. You know, people got nothing, and when people got nothing and they're abandoned, they self-medicate. When they self-medicate, they become addicted, and then these youngsters ain't got nothing to do. But what are we going to do after we lock them up? Guess what? They come right back out and terrorize us some more. You know, this is a society that doesn't value life at all, just values money and destroying other lives. It's really disgusting. And I think success at the CTA depends on that. It depends on eliminating poverty right here at the CTA first. And when we can do that, then we're on our way to something positive. Thank you so much, brother. So thing I'm going to do, I'm going to open up all the lines, so it's going to be a party line on this topic, so that each of you who are on the call can interact with each other. And we're going to run that for just about 5 minutes, and then I got to clear the board, and we're going to go on to the next topic. And, of course, you'll be able to call in then, but I always want to try to make room for new people. So I'm gonna unmute everybody. I'm going to bring everybody in. Okay, you don't have to identify yourself. You can if you want. So we got a party line now for about 3 minutes. Talk to each other about one person train operation. I won't say a thing.
Pinfall by Ken, Papa.
Okay.
I always park, although the cars are out the way. I always park the car.
Okay. I'll take a moment.
Okay. All right. So we don't have any comments on the party line. That experiment didn't work. But what we're going to do, I'm going to clear the lines. We're going to jump to the next topic. And those of you that were listening, you can, of course, call back if you'd like. But I'd like to make, like I said, make room for some other people. The mayor. We have a fired mayor, Lori Lightfoot. Also, one of the, let's say, the top boss at the CTA, partner in crime with the governor. Lori Lightfoot is gone. She'll be gone. Now it's down between two bosses, two of our future bosses. People are asking me, which one do you think we should vote for? And I say, vote for your coworker. You don't need to be voting and worrying. You can vote. Definitely vote. Go ahead. I vote. But keep in mind, the real solution to our problems at the CTA isn't the mayor. It's you and me and our coworkers. That is who you should be worried about voting for. I'm not even talking about union officer elections. I'm talking about start believing in each other, start fighting for each other, start helping each other. Because the mismanagement at the CTA hates it when you all stick up for each other. And they, because I know it's true, because when, as a union steward, I'll show up somewhere and the managers get all nervous, get jittery, looking everywhere, and some of them holler, "Eric Basir, go here, go there, get out of here," you know, just all kind of stuff. And they call the union president and say, "Oh, you got to get him out of here." But that's just me. There's a whole bunch of us. You are just haven't awoken yet and realized how powerful you are. So let's talk about this mayor. What do you think? I'm going to give everybody a minute. I'm going to give everybody a minute to say something. Everybody on the line here, I just cleared the board. I'm going to go one at a time, all right? And you're going to let us know what you think. You want Johnson. You want Vallis. Why? Tell us if you even think it's going to make a difference. And why not? I'll give you a minute, maybe a minute and a half. Let's go with 8227. Talk to us 8227. What do you think about this? Who should be the next boss we elect?
Well, I'm still I'm new at the CTA and I'm still on probation, and I'm trying to learn more and figure out what we can do to make it better and make the trains run on time, make the buses run on time. That's what I do at work. We know when I go in, and other than that, I don't know what we need to do. I'm here to learn, and I appreciate what you're doing out there. As far as the mayor goes, oh boy. Well, I think I really think that probably Brandon Johnson. I mean, he spent more time on the CTA and seems to be more interested in it, but you know, I really don't know too much about him, so I'll leave it at that.
Okay. Hey, no problem. And thanks a lot for calling in. And, you know, you can listen in, you know, live. You don't necessarily have to call in to listen. So, you know, make sure you keep listening and make sure you let people know, and whatever you learn, pass it on, because we're each a steward to each other. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. We got 0207. Let's talk about it. 0207. Let's talk about it. Who's going to be the next boss? Who's going to be the next elected boss? And is it going to make a difference? Talk to us. Okay. 0207. Talk to us. You're on. You're on the air. Okay.
Hello?
Oh, looks like I
hear a hello.
Let me see if I can get him back.
Hello?
I hear a hello. You're on the air. Talk
hello.
To us. 0207,
hmm?
Talk to us. Which one's going to be the mayor? Which one do you want? Is it going to make a difference?
If everyone comes out and votes, it's going to be the organizer, Brandon Johnson. But if the numbers don't come out, but they're probably going to come out because it's warming up real cool. The weather has a big difference with people coming out. It's just the honest truth. So if the weather warms up and it's going to be the month of Ramadan, everyone's going to come out, and Brandon's the winner. But if the numbers don't come out, then that is.
All right, real quick, what is it going to make a difference?
The weather and then just –
No. Is it going to make a difference if Brandon Johnson becomes the mayor?
Well, it's the lesser of evil. It's always the lesser of evil.
Ah, okay.
The lesser of evil.
She was an organizer. Just like a secretary treasurer of my union. She was an organizer, but she forgot her roots big time. Just 6 years ago, she was an organizer. She was at all CTA events, challenging the CTA, especially the rodeo. Now.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's like shoulder to shoulder with the CTA management and everyone else.
I mean,
except the union.
Yes.
She's never at the office.
That's right.
She's double dipping.
Well, thank
you. Double dipping. She's on the mayor's payroll. How are you on the mayor's payroll and you're not even ever available for your union members? Isn't that a conflict?
$135,000 a year is the salary she gets at ATU.
And she's not doing
we
the job. She's doing
our...
the mayor's job.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Well, brother,
somebody should put
gotta,
charges on that. But
yeah,
going back to the mayor.
We're doing it.
Going back to the mayor.
So, brother,
thank you. It's valid until the members come out and choose who they want to support. I say the lesser evil is Johnson. Brandon Johnson.
All right.
I know
thank you. Thank
it's
you.
Not going to help the working
thank you
class.
For the call,
but it is what it is.
We're going to go to the next
anytime.
One. But we appreciate the call. Thank you.
Anytime.
All right. We have 6257. 6257, talk to us. Johnson, Vallis, who, and does it make a difference?
Okay, I'll try to be brief. I think if Vallis gets elected, it's going to consolidate and strengthen the racist voice, going to give the police more apparent support for racist brutality and racist murder, like Trump. It's going to consolidate the racists just the way Trump did, in my opinion. and other people's opinions too. So with Brandon Johnson, he does appear to be the lesser of two evils, but I would say evil yes, lesser no, maybe. He wants to keep the inequality of this system. He's not calling for an end to fares for people to take the train. He's not calling for an end to racist police murder, but he's trying to make everything a little bit more appealing, a little bit more appetizing.
Thank you.
To yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. He's gonna be a boss. We know where they
right.
stand. Whenever they become the mayor, they're always gonna be the boss.
But can I say
one more thing? Yeah, go ahead. You got.
Yeah.
We're right at the end for your time, but go ahead.
This whole argument about the CTA president, we need to get rid of Dorval Carter. Whoever is the CTA president is going to do the same job the same way that Dorval Carter did. It's not the CTA president that determines our futures, our presents and our futures. It's the workers. It's what we do.
That's right.
We got to fight these. Okay.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It's, and you know, I'm sorry, but the next president is going to keep doing what Dorval Carter started. If not, the board of directors is going to remove him. And that is to outsource and sell us off as much as possible to save the most amount of money. And will the ATU be there to help us fight against privatization and fight for full-time jobs for all? Not if we don't get involved and take control of our union. All right, enough me preaching. 4489, talk to us. Vallis, Johnson, which one? Does it make a difference?
Well, I think it does make a difference, a small difference for the workers at CTA. We know exactly what Vallis is about. Vallis is about more police, more racist police, turning our city into a police state. And Brandon Johnson is quite the opposite, defunding the police budget. I hope people of color come out and vote for Brandon Johnson, but if they don't, the city workers, the firefighters, they're going to come out in strong numbers and vote for Vallis, and that's who we're going to have. But Vallis is and will be a nightmare for Chicago transit workers, you know, based on his history at the Chicago Public Schools and other departments that he has run before under Richard,
Chicago
under
State
Mayor
too.
Dave.
Chicago State University.
Yeah, Chicago State also. So, you know, I hope Brandon Johnson gets it, but people of color have to come out in strong numbers and vote for him, or he's going to sail his way in. But Vallis is, you know, we're looking at privatization real quick if Vallis wins.
Thank you,
CTA
brother.
CTA is going to be in real big trouble.
Yes, sir. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. And, yeah, that's really important to understand. Unfortunately, the phraseology – defund the police is actually not accurate. They're talking about redirect funding to human services, jobs, education, health care, which is mental and physical health care, housing. This is what it really is. It's about proper funding. And the police is not necessarily the focus of redirecting. It is actually and should be from the war machine, $50 billion, y'all. Another $50 billion ticket for the war in Ukraine. That's in addition to the other $50 billion over 6 months ago. What other wars in Yemen? Getting ready for war in China. War. These bloodthirsty blood suckers, all they care about is war and more prisons. It's ridiculous, and we can't afford to take care of people here so that they don't fall between the cracks and have to live on our trains and buses. 3823, I got you here. Talk to us. Vallis, Johnson, does it make a difference?
Yes, it make a big difference. This is Brother Andre Thompson from 103rd.
Ooh,
I just want to say,
Brother Andre, that's
it the should be
boogeyman.
Yes, sir. I just want to say it should be branded as clear choice for the people of Chicago, especially the less fortunate people. Paul Vallis is not for the people. He's not for the regular working man. He tried to close Chicago State. He was appointed by Governor Rounder, which is a Republican. So, you know, this is a clear choice for the people of Chicago to pick Brandon Johnson. And I don't know 100% everything about him, but he is about trying to bring people together, and it's not about more police. Police don't really solve anything. You know, if you look at Chicago, the crimes are always in the same neighborhoods, south and west sides, starting to spill into downtown. And nobody's doing nothing. You know, current mayor didn't do anything about it. She just did a lot of talking, a lot of lying. And I'm glad she's gone. You know, the union disrespected our members by endorsing her without our permission, without even a conversation, without even an understanding. And this is a total disrespect for the transit workers of Chicago. And we all need to get involved. You know, if Brandon Johnson get elected, we need to get involved and help to direct him, make sure it's just that simple. You know, Vallis is not for the people of Chicago.
Thank you.
All right, brother.
Thank you, Brother Andre. It's so great to have you on the call. All right.
Yes,
so,
sir.
We have it clear. There's definitely a lot of sentiment, positive, good vibes for Johnson. But, you know, there's also a desire for among our coworkers for Vallis. Vallis is not my personal choice, my favorite at all. But I won't really get into the details. I did start an unofficial poll, and right now we have 41 votes so far of coworkers and supporters. And right now, out of 45 votes, we have 48% for Brandon Johnson, 2 for Paul Vallis. So, you know, I would love to hear from some Paul Vallis supporters, and I'm going to clear it. I'm going to clear the phone lines, y'all. And if you're a Paul Vallis supporter, I want you to call in right now. If any Paul Vallis supporters, I want you to call in right now, 515-605-9885, 515-605-9885. I want you to call in and tell us, why do you think Paul Vallis is the best choice? All right. Oh, we got someone, 3823. Let's see. Go ahead, 3823. Tell us why you support Paul Vallis.
I don't support Paul Vallis. You got the wrong one.
Okay. Yeah, well, don't call. Hang on. Let me clear these lines. Don't call right now. I want Paul Vallis. Paul Vallis supporter, go ahead. Are you a Paul Vallis supporter? Doesn't sound like it. Okay. Are you a Paul Vallis supporter? Come on, Paul Vallis supporter. Huh? Or are you a pretend Paul Vallis supporter? You're on mute. Goodbye. Okay, let's see this one. Are you a Paul Vallis supporter, or are you a pretend Paul Vallis supporter?
Absolutely not.
You a pretender. Goodbye. I don't know where these Paul Vallis supporters are. Y'all better stop hiding. Okay. What the hell is going on in Local 241? Keith Hill. President Hill. I have this scathing letter from February 27, 2023, with Oh, someone's at my door.
Yeah, come on in.
Oh, it's Keith Hill. He's at my door. Come on, Keith Hill, have a seat.
Oh, thank you very much.
Keith Hill, why don't you sit down right here? We got a microphone for you.
I really have nothing to say. I just want to read a statement. I have to read an official statement from the official union office because you're dividing the union, and I have to make sure I call you out.
Oh, come on now, Keith. All right, what do you have to say?
I'm talking to the members. I'm not talking to you.
All right. Talk to the members. Dear Local 241 member, I am writing this report on behalf of myself and the newly elected officers in the boards of Local 241. During the past 24 months, we have gone through a period that our membership has never gone through previously. The members have had to work through excessive short staffing and have had to deal with an angry public. At the same time, we have had to deal with COVID, and the fact it has not only affected us personally, but the economics at the CTA and PACE, where ridership is yet to return. As we are all aware, funding is in major part based upon ridership. The extra money that the transit agencies have needed to operate will be expiring. And with a Republican Congress, there is little hope for saving more. All right, take a tissue. Take a tissue, brother. Here, calm down. But it sounds like you're defending the CTA, man. I mean, you're talking like, do you work for the PR department? That was a really nice PR. Basically, it sounds like you're doing public relations in a contract year and making the members be sympathetic to our greedy, stingy employer and telling the members to be happy they have a job and don't expect anything because the employer don't have no money. That's what it sounds like to me. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the members. Anyways, we are in the last year of our collective bargaining agreement at the CTA, where we were able to obtain the highest increases, which is now to our benefit. At PACE, the new contracts just have been put in place and provide security for the future. However, at the same time, the difficulties in the stock market have affected our pension plans. And while our returns are higher than most, we need to ensure the stability of our pensions, and retiree insurance benefits.
Come on, Keith. Stop interrupting me. Look,
I just have to interrupt you here, man. So it sounds like you saying we're in the last year of this collective bargaining and we got the highest increases.
I mean, look at that inflation rate, man.
It's almost double digit.
We have
negative increases.
These increases suck. I'm not talking to you. Come on, man. Why don't you just
admit you're just an apologist for the CTA?
With all this in mind, one of our main focuses in the coming months will be on our plans for our next contract at the CTA. We must ensure that the members continue to receive the benefits and wages to which they are entitled, and that their efforts during this difficult time are continued to be rewarded. All of our members must receive the respect they are entitled. My lawyer wrote that. While we have been able to negotiate for the first time midterm retention bonuses in addition to the wage increases provided by the contract at the CTA, we must now focus on the future.
Oh, come on, Keith. Listen, let me get someone on here. Hey, 4489, what did you think about this retention bonus here?
I'm talking to
the members. What do you think of this? What do you think of this?
Yeah, it's total bullshit. It's total BS. $800 our bonus. That's what the average bonus check was. bull crap. They said it was going to be $3,500 to $3,000, and it was $800. Total slap in the face to the workers that worked through this pandemic, and a total disrespect by the union misleadership for lying to us once again by working with the CTA. And, you know, we go to them and tell them that the check.
I agree.
The
hey,
check.
Wait a minute. Give me that control board. Give me. I'm hanging up. And who is this guy? He's against the union. He's against the union. Wait. What are you doing? God damn you, Chief. This is my show. Hey, I'm the president. And I was bathed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And everybody has to obey me.
I ain't obeying you, man. You ain't bathing some blood of Jesus Christ. Why you talk like that, man? Give me my.
Okay, read your statement.
Read your statement, Keith, and then get out my house.
Okay. So as we have emphasized in the past, it is the unity and support of the membership that allows the local to achieve its gains. Division serves only our employers, like that guy on the phone. Sadly to say, there is a minority of members whom you all know attempting to divide the membership through misinformation and sensationalism. They have in the past and will continue in the future to attempt focus the membership away from... Man, what you attempt focus? What you... Hey, don't interrupt me. I forgot to... I had a little problem with the typographical error. Well, man, why don't you edit this stuff before you read it on the air? Man, Keith, really, man, I'm just going to have to kick you out of here. I'm going to call the cops if you don't leave my house. No. You can't call the cops on me. Only I can call the cops on you.
All right, go ahead, Keith. I don't need to deal with the police today.
They have in the past and will continue in the future to attempt focus the membership away from the important issues by attacking the local. The membership and the leadership and every person they view as a threat to their agenda. They only attempt to focus on negativity. Nothing positive. They do so because there is to further their own agenda, which is not the agenda of the membership. They will not use the vehicles available to them as members, but will go outside the local. They will attempt to use every other avenue at their disposal, including social media and otherwise, to achieve their goal of focusing you away from the issues of weakening the local, dividing the union, and taking your mind off the upcoming contract and problems you are facing every day. They do not care what damage they do.
Keith, give me my microphone. Keith, man.
No, I have to finish. You can finish.
Hang on. Let me get this. Hey, 3823, what do you think, what in the world is this group, this minority he's talking about? Who are these people he's talking about?
I have no idea. Keith is a liar. That's all he do is lie.
No, you're a liar.
That's all
give
I
me
got. Keith, that's all I got to say. And you're not for the membership.
Give me that. No, Keith. Get back, Keith. I'm going to get my nunchucks. Get back.
I'm going to call the cops. You're in my house.
Goddamn. Okay, go ahead. Sorry to interrupt. Keith trying to take my microphone.
Keith,
you okay?
Keith had no respect for the membership. He got no respect for the membership. People come down, spend their money to park, take their time out to come down to the union meeting. All this is just as a discouragement for the members to come down. Then he try to make them, if you don't support Keith, then he try to make you go out the back door with where the alley is at and the garbage can. I mean, this is totally just disrespect for behavior. From a person.
Andre.
The members own the building.
Hang on.
Yes, sir.
Hang on. Keith, what are you doing, Keith?
Keith,
put the phone down.
No. I'm calling the police on Andre Thompson.
I know.
Wait a minute. You're in my house.
You won't call the cops on Andre, and he's in his house, and you won't call the cops from my house.
What is wrong with you? I got to make you these lines. These lines is against the membership. It's against the union.
Oh, shut up. Read your letter. Hey, Andre, I gotta hang up on you, brother. I'm sorry. This guy's freaking out.
Go ahead.
Okay, all right. Here's the microphone. Calm down. Here's the microphone.
Thank you. The officers urge to be conscious of this campaign of half-truths and misstatements and attempts to focus you away from the issues the locals should be and will be focusing in the coming months to prepare for negotiations and to address the real issues facing the members.
Gee, that's a run-on sentence, man. Can you break it up?
Stop telling me what to do. I'm the president. You're nothing. And you're in a different union. Are you like, is this a dual union? You're dual union? You're dual union.
Dual union. Here you go. Finish reading and then get out of my house.
It is through solidarity that we have gained, and it is through division we will lose. It's just easy to get caught up in the negative, but the agenda we follow cannot be the agenda of a few who only care about themselves. Speak to your board members, ask questions, and provide input on issues of concern, and we can only gain as we progress and make plans for the future. We want your involvement and urge you to participate. As always, we will keep you informed.
All right, Keith. That's enough. Thank you.
Wait, one last thing. In solidarity, Keith D. Hill, President, Business Agent.
Okay. Get out of my house. Get out of here. Oh, God. That was too much. Okay. 00207, talk to us, 0207, you're on the air. What did you think of that? Who the hell is he talking about? Who is this minority he's talking about?
Well, you need to stop that. You know, you're not a minority. You're a white boy, and you shouldn't be trying to make a dual union, you know? There's only one all-supreme union.
I'm hanging up on you. Goodbye. Thank you, sir. That was very clever. Okay. Let me get the next call. Looks like Andre and somebody else. Come on, talk. What the hell was that?
It's just a bunch of garbage. Keith is just full of crap. It's not, nothing more I can say about that on Keith.
I mean, look at this letter.
And the membership needs to understand it to take control of the union.
It's crazy.
Just that they never get nothing out of Keith.
Andre, he wrote a whole letter. This is his first letter as the president for a second term. And all of it is about the Justice Coalition. It's all about us.
Yeah.
He's freaking out that we're waking the members up, man.
Mm-hmm.
He's freaking. This is a freak show.
So we're going to keep the pressure on him. And we're going to bring more members in. More members going to get involved. More members going to demand that we take the union meetings at a different location so people can park for free. And that's what's supposed to happen, you know. But it's not enough members down there to make any type of motions. And the members need to understand that we're getting outvoted by the people that we elected every time that we try to do anything for the members that's in the members' best interest. These newly elected officials, some of them, have been indoctrinated by our Keith Hill, and they're going to do whatever Keith tells them to do. And we need to take control and outvote them and be down at their union meeting every month until we do so.
And same in 308. Same in 308,
right,
y'all. The union is ours. If we just want to take it, we can do it. You know, it's our union. It's not the elected people's union.
All right.
Thank you, Andre. And do we have Robert there? Thank you, Andre. Appreciate it. Robert, you said something.
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm so glad I got Keith Hill out my house, man. It's just too much. I couldn't take it.
Yeah. Keith Hill is a big baby, and, you know, he wants to – this letter is written to rally up his cult, you know. He wants to say
yeah.
that a couple members are dividing the unit. No, MF, you dividing the union by making it hard for members not to come to the meeting. We got to pay the part. Then we get to the meeting, and you adjourn the meeting before new business or old business. And then you got your dog whistles, your slaves, your cult members putting out statements saying, why are we promoting the meeting? We doing what you should be doing. We promote, the members are promoting the meetings more than the damn union officials. What kind of union is that?
Yeah.
So
In 308, we got the same thing. It's the Justice Coalition. It's Sister Cheryl. They're the only entities promoting local 308 membership meetings. The only ones.
So,
you know,
I can't
the union
the
leadership,
day.
They do some, but not a lot.
Well, they do very little. They post it up on the union board, and that's it. They don't, and they send one email with the letter, with the notice, but they don't promote it ongoing throughout the month. So,
nope.
You know,
nope.
We need to put charges on these fools. And
that's right.
And the international is complacent, in agreements with this corruption that's going on.
That's right.
You know, it seems like everybody is against us. The U.S. Department of Labor is against us. The union is against us. The international is against us. But the workers are rising up and standing up. And soon, real soon, we're going to have our way. We're going to have control of our union that we pay thousands of dollars in union dues every month for. Thank you. That's right.
Thank you, brother. And we're going to take a little break. We're going to take a few minute break. We're going to play a little music for just a couple minutes. And it's some pretty interesting music. It's a song. Yeah. It's a little song. And it might sound familiar.
These members always complaining and whining, never happy. Oh, look at this. Another post from him. Think I might lose his grievance. I don't know, this other one might try to run against me. I'm gonna do what I wanna do. Yeah. That's the way it's gonna be. I am your union boss, benevolent iron fist. Fear my sensitive feelings, don't get me pissed. PPP loan or picnic, guess which one is it? Everything in a union office is a secret. Shut your mouth, I demand respect. Obey me or get your asses kicked. Naughty member, you never seem to stop. I will call the cops. Post another criticism on Facebook, and your every move I will tell the manager to watch. Sign the contract, you lazy slobs. Shut up and be happy y'all have a job. Hug the mayor. Love your boss. Distrust your co-workers and just grieve the loss. Six-digit salaries for me. Super special fees and dues just for you. I am your union boss. Obey me and never question what I do. We'll be right back.
Wow, I needed that break.
Sure you did too. Let's talk about what's been a little bit of news. What's been going on at the CTA among the workers? So you know, our union president, Local 241, Keith Hill, can't help himself. Now, Michelle Townsend got the photo op fever too. They were pictured with a graduating class of operators smiling with the bosses. They don't smile with the members though. At the membership meeting, oh, give us a mean face. You need an appointment to come and visit. Always a mean face. Isn't that right, Andre? I know you're here, right, Andre?
They never smile when you show up, right? They're all out there putting the shine on for the CTA, and they lose their boss, the mayor. You know, next time we go to the union meeting, we're gonna see if we can get Michelle and Keith to shine next to us and put a big smile on as we promote membership control of the union, because these guys is just a bunch of sellouts. You know, they're not very friendly to the members who pay their salary, but they want to be friendly to the CTA bosses, which is unacceptable to the membership. The membership should be outraged and be up in arms about this behavior of union officials, especially with the disrespect that goes on with these officials. You know, and it's 6,000 members, and it's only like 6 to 7 people come down, that's the members that try to make a stand, and if the rest of the membership come down and see how we're being treated, they'll be outraged, and they'll be ready to have these people removed. So they need to really understand what's going on and what's happening to their lives.
At ChicagoTransitWorker.com, we got a button that says Know Your Rights, and we have a whole section on grievances. And in that, you can find how to put charges on a union officer. We have a whole template, so we can help you do it, or you can download it, and anybody can download it and fill it out at any Amalgamated Transit Union local.
And
put charges on your officers. Yeah,
can I say something? At the February union meeting, now we got a newly elected official who made a motion to cancel a meeting before old business and new business took place. And this means that the newly elected person don't care about what's going on, don't care about unionism, and don't care about the members getting involved. They don't even promote the union meetings when they at the garage. And he going to turn around. He just getting in, and he put a motion to cancel a meeting. And all this was to please the dictator, Keith Hill. This is shameful, people.
Yep.
We really need to wake up.
They unite against the members. It's Amalgamated
yep.
Transit Union against the members.
Yeah, all day long.
So yeah, yep. ChicagoTransitWorker.com, and we have a button there for our Facebook page, our Twitter page, and YouTube channel. If anyone wants to call in, 515-605-9885, 515-605-9885. We're just going through some news at work. Chicago Transit Justice Coalition, thanks to Brother Khalid, we organized a very successful protest at Jefferson Park about 2 weeks ago, and riders came out to support us. Even Metro workers came out to support CTA workers. This was about CTA workers. Even some politicians came out. Some people who were fired from the CTA came out. It was freezing. And we're working on, Brother Khalid's working on organizing another protest. And I lost him. Hopefully he'll call back and talk to us. But he is working on organizing that. Main point that the Justice Coalition is pushing right now is the foundation for making work safer, is based on 3 points, full-time jobs for all, two-person crews, that's every department, bus and rail, clean and safe vehicles and facilities. With those three things, the CTA can actually be a world-class public transportation system. Because when you treat the workers right, the workers are happy. and the agency will thrive. We have one of our brothers who was discriminated against for a transgender operation, and Brother Russia Brown. And at the Justice Coalition Facebook page, we featured an article from Fight Back News interviewing him. And he talked about his struggle dealing with the healthcare issues, being threatened with death, even, and, of course, being mocked and made fun of by Keith Hill. Keith Hill, you know, obviously has some, I guess, finds it very upsetting when people express themselves like Russia Brown, and that's ridiculous. Again, the reminders. Local 241 has a membership meeting March 7th. Try to come for the charter meeting. You know, that's where all the union business can be, we'll have a better say as members, controlling that from 10 a.m. But there are also meetings at 2 p.m., 4 p.m., and 7 p.m. And but they're still skipping out another meeting for COVID cleaning. So tell us, Andre, do you feel when you go to the membership hall that it has been cleaned of COVID because we're canceling one of the membership meetings?
Well, yes, they are. This ain't nothing but billing for the membership. This is no real COVID cleaning. You know, they could take some Lysol and spray if it came down to COVID cleaning, but there's no COVID cleaning at the union office, because when I asked the question, who's doing the cleaning, Keith replied, where the wardens are. Well, then that means there's nobody really cleaning. They're not certified to do any COVID cleaning. It's not explained how the process. It's never been explained how the process goes when it comes down to COVID cleaning in the union meeting. And why cancel the 2 o'clock meeting? You know, that's a meeting that people can come to when they swing. So he specifically made sure that they cancel the 2 o'clock meeting and not the 4 o'clock meeting. And they really shouldn't be canceling no meetings at all, because once, basically at the end of the day, when they have the charter meeting, you cancel the 2 o'clock meeting, nobody's come to the 4 o'clock meeting, so they cancel that, and nobody's come to the 7 o'clock meeting. So it's all a major scam, you know. When the last time, and ask any members, do we actually have a 7 o'clock meeting? Do we have a 4 o'clock meeting? No. So that's why you cancel the 2 o'clock meeting, and it kills all the other meetings. You know, and you're sitting around with all these wards. Every time you look up, it's a new ward. I mean, what's the purpose of all this overseeing? It's, you know, intimidation.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Yeah. ATU pigs.
And when you come down at the 10 o'clock meeting, you know, you don't see nothing but total disrespect. You know, they constantly threatening Eric Slater, trying to call the police on a brother, saying that he ain't a member. And they won't accept his dues. Now they're accepting his dues. This is just crazy. You know, I've seen them wardens totally disrespect him for no reason. And members, the wardens cannot put their hands on you. Only thing their job is to keep order, and that is request that you stop doing whatever you're doing if you're out of order. And if you can't control yourself, their job is to call the police and have you removed. They don't supposed to touch you or none of that stuff. And if they do that, you can have them arrested, you know? And we need
absolutely
to understand
I've
that.
Been, yeah. In 308, it's so frustrating because we only have one meeting on one day, once a month. So when we barely make quorum like we did the last meeting where we needed 25 people for quorum and we only had 24, and for the president just to send us all home, people were like, oh, what the hell do I even come here for? And so they don't come. You know, it's frustrating when they cancel meetings, when Hill cancels meetings, when Dixon cancels meetings. It's disrespectful.
And guess
you know?
What? When you're the first,
you remember and you ain't came, you the first time coming to a union meeting, you come down, they take your time out your day to come down there, and they cancel the union meeting, what that does to you? That makes you don't want to come back. For 241 and 308, from my understanding, they have canceled the last 3 to 4 union meetings. We haven't had a union meeting in months, y'all, because members come down and they make sure before the business start taking place, they get a union official, make a motion to cancel the meeting, then the union officials vote to cancel the meeting. It's unheard of. It's crazy. That's why members need to come down. I mean, we be trying to keep the meeting going, but when you only got 10 hands or 10 to 7 hands and it's 20 of them, guess what? They protecting Keith's interest. They're not protecting the members' interest. They cancel the meeting. Lee Catchings, first-time board, executive, or not a steward. He's a steward. First time, comes to the meeting. What'd he do? Cancel the meeting. Put a motion to cancel the meeting. Why? Because he wanted to please Keith. Unheard of. Crazy.
Terrible disrespect. Terrible disrespect. And we have to keep holding them accountable. And the sad thing, Andre, is some of the most frustrating things are when we complain to international president John Costa, King Costa, and he sends us these stupid letters from his lawyer. What's the last one? He said autonomy, some crap. What was he saying? Take it to your local. I mean, how can we take it to our local when they keep shutting down the meeting?
John Costa, he's just a major loser. I mean, we need to think of ATU as nothing for us, and we need to understand the ATU job is not to interfere with a local. And we need to understand that. So we're looking for them to do something, and John don't really want to do nothing, the president of ATU. We need to understand we just need to run our own local. We can't be looking for the ATU. I mean, we need to write the letters because we need to make him understand what's taking place because the Constitution is designed to protect us and to protect him. And if he don't follow the Constitution, he can get in trouble. So we need to put the pressure on, and we need to understand when we're being violated at the union meeting so we can make our written complaints. And
charges. The charges are critical because once we get those in, and if we can be successful with some of those, and then if the local leadership disrespects that, then we go to the international. Now that we tell the international, so you're going to do something about it now, King Costa?
Yeah, because we can force it. The membership can force his hand because there's so much wrongdoing. We just need to be able to put it into play correctly so it can get corrected. And if we don't know what to do and how to do it, then it just goes on. Just like with this COVID cleaning, you know, it's been going on for over a year and a half. Nobody's saying nothing. We have no parking.
Two and a half years.
Or somewhere up in there. And when nobody says this stuff, nobody said nothing, and we don't get an opportunity to say nothing, it just continues to go on. You know, Keith had tried to put members out the back door for 4 months, and members did it. And nobody said nothing until I started speaking up, and I refused to go out the back door. And I end up going out the front door because I threatened to call the police. So we just got to say something. You see something, say something. We're going to steal CTA's policy. See something, say something in the union. Understand your rights. Understand who to write to. Understand how to make charges. Understand the U.S. Department of Labor. Understand the Illinois Department of Labor. We need to do something. Make waves.
That's right.
Agitate.
Thank you. Yep. And it's our union. We got to take control. All right, thank you, brother. I'm gonna bring Khalid. I think brother Khalid's here. Brother Khalid, hey, talk to us. What did you talk to us about the protest at Jefferson Park? What you thought of it? What you think could make it better? What you think worked out great? And then what's next? It looks like something for March 24th you're working on.
What's up, Momo?
Okay, Khalid, talk to us.
Hey guys. What do you want to talk about?
Well, I got you here because I want you to talk a little bit about the CTA Workers Fight Back protest that we had at Jefferson Park, what you think made it great, what you think could have been better. And what's in the plans for March 24th so far?
What we did was awesome, and we met a lot of brothers from, like, all walks of life, and that was so inspiring when they just popped up and they were taking pictures of us and recording us, and I'm, like, taking pictures of them, recording them. They're like, no, no, we're here to support you guys. So I'm like, oh, okay. So they were just recording, just, you know, just to record, you know, for their, you know, whatever reason, but
yeah.
They were there to support us, so that was kind of cool, and it was just very empowering to have supporters, and then I can't explain the feeling, but I feel like a totally different, like, metamorphosis, a different person, and, like, more courageous, but maybe a little bit too much, because I'm like, okay, when's the next one? And I'm like, and you're like, no, you got to put it together first, but you can't just show up somewhere and not have a coalition. You can't go alone. It's good to be in numbers. And we were able to let them know that you can't just use people and throw them away when you're done with them as an employee. My uncle had 32 years. He was 75 years old working for the CTA, and he died working at the CTA. He had a heart attack. And a normal procedure is to retire your shield, K954. It's a call letter you use. He was an instructor, and he also was looked over for many years because he wanted to do the next step and go into management, which is probably not favored amongst a lot of my coalition members. But he just wanted to go out there and try to make a difference, and they would never give him a chance. So he was able to get an attorney, and he was able to succeed. But he passed away before the attorney was able to let him know that he succeeded in the lawsuit against CTA for management. But we were there that day. That's a little history of my Uncle Faruqi, but we were there. We let them know that retiree is called K954. That's what they call the instructors. And Brother Eric put together a little letter saying, you know, stop discriminating against, you know, employees who are
different.
No,
we did
different.
That letter. We did that letter. I didn't do that letter. Mm. We did it.
He typed it, but we did it, yeah. He typed it. We man. And that was kind of, like, very empowering. And I should have walked in with Brother Eric, but while you guys were taking, like, the little, you know, group shot, I was so motivated. I walked in there. I was scared, but I knocked on the door. They wouldn't let me in. And then one of the supervisors, who's now an instructor, opened the door, and I handed him the letter, and I walked away. I know I should have went in there with Brother Eric or more members, but I was just in the moment, and I got to, like, probably sit back sometimes and feel in a moment, hold yourself together and say, don't go alone, you know, because it's their word against yours, you know.
You
never go alone,
brothers. That was a march on the boss, brother. That is direct action, and that's something that's rare at the CTA. And, you know, you made history. We made history. And, yeah, you went in there, but you still made a point. But we were out back, so you really weren't alone. We were just, like, on the other side of the wall.
That was great,
brother. That was powerful, man, to give a letter to management saying, hey, we need such and such corrected. Please do it by such and such time. Boom. You know.
Well, we didn't put that. We didn't put a date. We should have put a date. Anytime, brothers, you ask, demand something, put a demand, do it by this date. We didn't put a date, so then we could have said, okay, they didn't give us any answers. Then we show up on that date. We didn't get an answer today. We want answers. Now we're not giving you no more dates. We demand you to honor the man and respect your employees and do what past protocol did. You retired employees who died on the job. Firefighters do it. Police officers do it. So
that's right.
Enough is enough.
That's right.
But we didn't put a date. So that's why I want to put that together and do it right this time and show up at the university for CTA at Jefferson Park. Let them know, hey.
But keep in mind, we did do it with our workplace complaints to the union. So we did.
Yeah, but that was kind of selfish on our part. I was there for my uncle, and then we threw that in there because they looked over a lot of qualified instructor trainees, such as Stephen Ewan, Eric Basir, myself. I've been there a long time, and they turned me away. And I did a previous class a year ago, and I finished a training, and then I got caught up in some racist instructor that made some, like, anti-derogatory statements, and then he was upset because I was retaliated for speaking up on problems with the tests. Members were failing tests due to issues such as what terms mean, and if you put the correct term of a definition, the answer is wrong. So if you say anxiety is the effect of a chemical imbalance or whatever that definition is, it's wrong. Even though in your mind it's right, but the test has answers that are the opposite. So if you put the answer for a test to be right, you got to put the wrong answer to get right. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. So I brought it up, and they took it. The management kept dropping the ball, so we took it to the director. She took care of it, and I was given my points, and I completed the training. I was supposed to graduate within days, and then they came out with a special test, RTO test, on a write-in signal test, and make it short. I took it, I failed, and they sent me back to my location and said, you're not qualified. And I'm like, okay, and I put a grievance in, and they retaliated again because I got interviewed for instructor, and they denied me to be part of the class, even though I was the top student, according to one of the instructors. But it is what it is. We got a grievance in. Brother Eric got one in. Brother Stephen got one in. And there's another couple of students that didn't put theirs in, but I'm communicated with them. But on the 24th, is it, Brother Eric? March at Jeff Park?
Yeah. We got a plan. So do your talking with coworkers. Let's build a theme.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
And let's keep people updated.
We need to demand a specific date. I think a 10-10, so I work on the info. 10-10 is because that's when we take back our union. We make nominees for our union on October 10th. So we're going to demand retiring my Uncle Shield by October 10th because that's going to be a new beginning. Hopefully we motivate members to take our union back and nominate members who are going to stand for us. For us,
what?
Not for CT or management, for us.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Okay, so we're going to wrap it up. Colin, thanks for participating. Thanks for your leadership, your initiative, your bravery. You take care, brother.
Thanks, bro.
Yes, sir. All right. So we're going to wrap this up, everybody. We had a great show. I gave us a little more time than we needed. I want to grab Brother Andre. He's one of our co-organizers at the Justice Coalition. That was college you had. I'm going to give Andre a last word. I think I got you there.
Hey,
Brother Andre, you there?
Okay.
Yeah. Give us some parting thoughts. Go ahead.
One thing I like to say is on March 7th we have a union meeting. I encourage all members to attend that union meeting. Don't be discouraged by the obstacles that's being put in front of you to attend the union meeting. You need to attend the union meeting at 10 o'clock a.m., 1613 South Michigan on the 7th. And it so happened that 308 changed their union meeting to the 7th, too. So, you know, if any members want to go to their union meeting at 6:30, they're welcome to come. It's in the bylaws to... It's in the Constitution that members can attend each other's meetings, even though Keith denied Brother Eric and Sister Cheryl access to our membership, and he used the vote of the union officials to do that. So just keep in mind, this is what it's all about. It's all about attendance. It's all about votes, and the votes take place on a regular basis. Do not get into some newly elected executive board talking about in her post from 103rd, there's no vote going to be taking place. She don't know what's going on. She don't even attend union meetings. This is how bad it is. So members, come out, get involved. Get involved in this mayor's race. If, you know, the Justice Coalition, we don't endorse politicians. But if you're a member and you want to get involved and help somebody out, do so. This is very important.
That's right.
All this is about our lives. You got the police going to be changed. You got the CTA president going to be changed, hopefully. And we need to be involved in all this process to understand when these people pick these people, why are you picking these people, and how is it going to affect us? And the only way you're going to understand and get the pressure on is be involved. That's all I need to say. It was great.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Thanks so much for making it great. And until the next show, thank you. And until the next show, I'm going to leave you with a few quick little thoughts. We always want to wrap up the meeting with some of the Wolof drumming, because the drum is the way of the shaman, or the way of the holy man, the holy woman, that connects the people with the spiritual world, because our struggle is beyond our age. Our struggle goes into hundreds and thousands of years. The struggle of the righteous against the wicked, the poor against the greedy. And in our struggle is never, ever going to be any gifts. We have to take one from the people who steal from us. Grand lifestyles, lavish lifestyles off of us and our labor. Grieve those sick book entries, y'all. If you get written up for getting sick, grieve it. Grieve it, grieve it, grieve it. Grieve it. I can help you. Send me an email. ericbasir.308@gmail.com. ericbasir.308@gmail.com. I got some intellectual ammunition. Pandemic provided opportunities for us. Take what we need to take. Peace.